The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read several verses here today. The subject is the times and seasons. That is the subject of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Let's read. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're living or dead, we should live together with him. The Apostle Paul said that I really don't have any need to remind you of the times and of the seasons. So I'm only going to take just a brief few minutes to remind you, as Paul said, of the times and of the seasons. I've spoken to you about that before. A few years ago, we did a lengthy Wednesday night series of messages on the end times. So I'll briefly mention to you the times and the seasons, because Paul said you already know this. So this is just a refresher course for you on this particular part, and then we'll talk about how we should be viewing the times and the seasons. And as we begin this, let me say this. What if you knew without question that the Lord was coming back at noon here today? How would you think? How would you feel? And I submit to you, if there's any other thought besides, I can't wait, praise God, let the minutes pass as quickly as they can. If there's the thought, but I've got a deadline at work. I've got a test I need to take. I got to get a college scholarship, or I've got ground to plant at home. I've got the ground. I would love to see one more season of beans come up, or corn. Sorry, Mom. I've got to get married. I've got to have kids. I want to see my grandkids. I want to see. If that is any type of thought, if there is a hesitation or a reservation within our heart when we think, if you knew for a fact that the Lord was coming back at noon. You see, that's something that we need to purge out of our thinking. See, I'll pick on Brother Chris. You know, he has preached several times about that there was a time in his life when he actually would say things like that. Well, I hope the Lord just waits to come back, you know, till after I get married to Sister Sherry, and after we have a few kids, and after, you know, those kids grow up, and then we can see them have kids, and they'll get married and have kids. You know, Brother Chris has talked extensively. I'm not telling anything on him because he's preached about that. That thought process of just wait a little longer, Lord, just wait a little longer. You see, that is not the thought process of the child of God. And here's why. Because there's nothing that you can put on a list of what any of those things that I named, and you can name so many things. I want to see the next sports team, you know, win the championship. You know, if I don't make it through December or January, you know, to see maybe Alabama win another championship. I mean, I just the resurrection just couldn't be complete. You see, there is nothing that you have or that I have that we could list or name in this natural world. There's nothing that we can name that can beat or compare to being with our Lord forever. See, now it's easy for me to say that, and I like saying that, but I have my own thoughts, and I think, you know, hey, I would like to see a grandchild one day. Or I would like to see my children graduate college. Or I would like to, you know, settle this case that I'm working on. I would like to see some 100 more people, 1,000 more people join the church and follow. I'm not any different than you. I struggle with those kind of thoughts. Tarry a little longer, Lord. Let me get these things tied up, these loose ends tied up. Let me get my life together. Let me make sure I've repented enough. I'm the same way. So how would we be thinking if we knew that the Lord was coming back at noon? Who knows? He could come back before then. But Paul said, of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. You know already that the time is drawing nigh. And that was almost 2,000 years ago, brothers and sisters. He said the time is drawing nigh almost 2,000 years ago. So it must be drawing even more nigh, if that's a good way to put it. Now the word times right there is the Greek word chronos. There was even a false god referred to as chronos. And I'll tell you, there is a super chronos. The Lord is the God of all time, you see. And the word seasons mean, related to this context, it means the time when things are brought to crisis. I like that definition of seasons. The time when things are brought to crisis. You know, there's a time to plant. And if you miss that time to plant, unless you do some hands-on type gardening, you're not going to have the kind of crop that you would have had if you missed the time of crisis whenever it's time to plant. You know, I hate to even mention this congresswoman in the pulpit, but if some of y'all have heard Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talk about, you know, 12 years from now, you know, the world's going to end. And it's not just her. She's a very visible, vocal person at this point in politics. But those folks are fear merchants. You know, they're trying to scare people to get on their agenda and get on board with whatever their platform may be. And there's many fear platforms out there, let me tell you. Now, the seasons that we're looking for is not in 12 years. You know, the world's going to warm up enough where everybody's going to die. We know the Word of God says that one day, in the Lord's time and in the Lord's season, when it comes to a crisis, a time of crisis, the Lord is going to burn up this world. You see how there's a seed of truth in something like that? And the devil will take that and usurp that and conjure up fear for children of God. And I'm telling you, there is nothing to fear. The precursory signs of the Lord coming. I like the definition of precursory signs. It's all the events in the realm of nature as well as history which indicate that Jesus, more or less indicate that Jesus is coming and the end of all things is near. That excites me. If he was coming back at noon today or in 1 minute from now, it should be exciting for the child of God. Now, most of the religious world is looking for things like dispensationalism or the rapture or a tribulation period, 7 years tribulation period, the rise of the Antichrist, Israel being restored. Listen, you and I, believers in the Word of God and how simple it is and what Paul taught, what Peter taught, what the apostles taught, what Jesus said, we are looking for one thing, and that is his coming. That's what we're looking for. And if it's at noon, how would we feel? Now listen, Paul said, you have no need for me to write to you of the times and the signs and the seasons, of the times and the seasons. First of all, consider these categories. Very quickly, we'll go through them. First of all, the category of politics. Matthew 24 and 6 says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Luke 24 and 6 says that there will be commotions. That word commotions means instability. You ever had a commotion going on where it's just maybe chaos? And that is an indication of the political field. It will be unstable, very unstable. It also says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3 right here, it says, for when they shall say peace and safety. That is a political statement right there. When they say peace and safety, everything's okay. The Lord says, then sudden destruction. Did you know back in for 4 months in 1994, around 1 million Rwandans that were known as, hope I say their name right, known as Tutsis, were slaughtered and murdered by the reigning government, which was the Hutu tribe, the Tutsi tribe. And that was 70% of that particular ethnic group, of that tribe. And you know what happened on the morning when they started chopping them up with machetes? You know what happened in the world? Nothing. The stock market opened and it was doing well. Fox News came on, started telling the reports of how everything is going on here and there, you know. CNN comes on, starts telling the reports, and all the while, for a four-month period, almost a million people are being hacked to pieces by machetes and shot with guns. It's a fact. Go check it out. I actually made a movie about it some years later. Horrifying. But everything just went right on. Peace and safety. Everything's good. Think about even the days of World War II when Hitler was systematically trying to eradicate the Jewish people. Millions of people being eradicated and the ashes from their bodies being burned, covering the land. Unbelievable. And of course, I know there was war going on, but even in the midst of the war, when everything was seemed to be going the way of the Allies, you know, nobody knew about that. See, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So you remember that. That's part of the political scene on the times and seasons of the end. What about socially? Jude the 7th chapter says, and speaking of, Jude the 7th verse, there's only one verse, one chapter in Jude. But in the 7th verse of Jude, it says that the society that was destroyed in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah was a society filled, socially, it was fornication everywhere. Sexual sin, all types of sexual sin. And it says they went after strange flesh. The Lord sees the homosexuality as those going after strange flesh. It's unnatural. Doesn't matter how many governments protect that. It doesn't matter how many laws they pass. God sees that sin as unnatural. And that's the way it was in the days. He says it'll be that way in the last days. It also says in Luke, the 17th chapter, 28th verse, as the days of Lot. And in the days of Lot, homosexuality was an accepted practice. Matthew 24, it says, as in the days of Noah would be the days when the Lord comes back. Whenever there was what in the days of Noah? Violence everywhere. Violence. You couldn't walk out the threshold of your door without protection in those days. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, says, in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. Listen, there would also be a numbness to violence. There is a bill that has been proposed. I can't remember if it's in our national Congress or if it's in one of the states. I can't remember. Forgive me. But it's called the Kitten Act. And it is a bill. It's a law that is being proposed to protect kittens. And there is no law being proposed at this point or being passed at this point to protect the unborn. Let's protect a kitten, but let's don't protect the life, the precious life of the unborn. You see how inconsistent that is? You see how numb that is? There's also an act in one of the states being passed regarding dog abuse. And I'm all for not abusing dogs, but aren't they missing the point? To protect the life of a child, the value of the life of a person that God says is infinitely and inestimably more valuable than the life of an animal. See how twisted that is? You see how numb that is to violence? Get all up in the air about a kitten or a dog and do nothing about the life of an unborn child or the life of an elderly person. Just let them be euthanized. They're a burden on the state or the national tax bill or the Medicaid. Just let them be euthanized. There are people that propose that. See, we're numb. Our society is numb socially. What about economically? In Luke 17, again, in the days of Lot and the days of Noah, it says they planted, they builded, they married, they gave in marriage. There was prosperity. It was so much prosperity. And I'm telling you that prosperity is a greater persecutor than just about anything you can come up with. Because prosperity is so distracting. You think everything's going to continue like it is. You think the paycheck's going to keep coming in. And listen, I'm not for losing the paycheck. But I'm like Brother Neil said, it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the things that God has blessed us with. But we have to keep them in perspective. Because our nature, our tendency is to not keep them in perspective. To go to extremes. Oh, we are extremists in our heart. If you sit there and you say, well, I'm not an extremist, I'm sorry to tell you, you are. God's read your mail. God has spied on you. He knows that you are. We are extremists. I've had things that I loved to do and I enjoyed doing. And the next thing you know, I've taken it to an extreme. I've given y'all my account before of music. There's nothing wrong with music. Nothing wrong with playing a guitar. There's nothing wrong with writing a song. But if you take it to an extreme, it will destroy you. And I stand before you today having been saved in a timely sense from such a thing. I testify to you, I've been saved from that and many other things too that I could name. Economically, it would be a prosperous time. What about science? You see, I'm covering all these categories: politics, social, economics, science. In 2 Peter 3 and 3, it says, in the last days there will be scoffers who would do what? They would ignore true science, and they would say that the flood is just a myth, the flood of Noah's time. That's what 2 Peter 3 and 3 says, that they would ignore that there was a flood, that there was the judgment of God, and they would interpret the evidence that they see, whether it's the fossil record or whatever it may be that they come up with, that they would interpret it to mean that there's no flood. You see, anybody ever heard of the theory of evolution? Anybody ever heard of the millions and millions of years, the fossil record, the way that they interpret it? And it can be interpreted a different way. It can be interpreted a true way. You see? But that's the sign and see of the seasons. Okay, what about religion? The times and seasons towards the end. 2 Peter 2 and 1 says that there would be false prophets. Just like there were in the Old Testament, there'd be false prophets. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3 says that there would be a great falling away from the truth. Luke, the 21st chapter and the 12th verse, said there would be persecution of the truth, of people that believe the truth. And in Luke 24, maybe it's Matthew 24, he says that, this is positive, he says the gospel must be preached to all nations before the Lord comes back. And I've said before, so let's get busy spreading the truth and preaching the gospel. See? Because I believe he's talking about the truth of salvation by grace there. This is sad, too, about the time of religion. The state of religion in the days when the Lord comes back. Matthew 24 and 48 says that children of God would be smiting each other. That's got to be the saddest part of it all. Born again, children of God who love the Lord would be smiting each other. You know, you're wrong, you're right, you're wrong, you're right. And they'd be smiting. There'd be a rip going on. You see, that ought not to be. Whether it's among the church here, praise God, we have peace, or in among religious world in general. You know, I've had a few people, listen, y'all know I put the article in the paper, been doing it for almost 15 years. And I've had a couple folks that didn't bear any spiritual, seemingly any spiritual fruit, reach out and say, I don't like this, I don't like that. Sometimes they put an editorial in the paper. But for the most part, when somebody has reached out to smite one of my articles, it's been a spiritual person. It's been a religious person. I don't agree with what you wrote. You know, the hardest times that I've ever experienced in the ministry have come at the hands of spiritual people who were just being mean. That's crazy, isn't it? That's the fulfilling of that right there. So, those are the times and the seasons, politically, socially, religious. I didn't mention this one. What about technologically? Daniel, the 12th chapter, says that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I believe that was a reference to Google. I really do. You can know anything you want to know. It doesn't mean you have wisdom now just because you got knowledge. But you can know, I can Google anything I want to know about anything that's ever happened. And I can just type in something, and Google sometimes will figure it out for me. I will even misspell it, and Google will say, is this what you meant? That's crazy, isn't it? Knowledge will be increased. There's so much knowledge out there. There's no restriction on gaining knowledge. And many shall run to and fro. My goodness, you just ran to and fro to get here this morning. You may get in a, some of you will be getting in a plane. My brother will be flying in a plane. He'll be going to and fro across the nation just like that. They used to have traveling wagons or on horses. The fastest you used to could travel was by horse or by boat or maybe by train in the early 1900s, 35, 40 miles an hour. Now, how about that? Something in it. Many shall travel to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Every category of life points to the time and season that the Lord's return is imminent. And there's hopefully nobody in this congregation, but there's always going to be somebody who says, maybe listening to the podcast, yeah, we've heard that. Oh, I pray that's not you. That's not what God intended whenever this was written. Yeah, we've heard it. I preached a sermon on the second coming several years ago up in Birmingham. And this older preacher, none of you would know him, and I won't name his name. And I felt the Spirit, the people were enjoying what I was preaching. There was light in the eyes, there were amens, the Spirit was there. It was just a joyful time. And after it was over, this old preacher came up to me, you know, put me off to the side, and he said, yeah, you know, we've been hearing preachers preach that for a long time, Brother Tim. as if to say, no big deal. No big deal. The second coming, no big deal. And of course, you know, my first reaction was, I gripped my teeth. But I realized that brother lost his way. He lost his vision. Or maybe he never had it. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, spare me that I would not get excited about thinking I'm going to be delivered from all of my troubles. Because that's what it is. The Apostle Paul said, you don't even have to be reminded of the times and seasons. I spent most of the service here this morning reminding you of the times and seasons. It's clear. And Paul says, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that at that day should overtake you as a thief. Listen, three different times, Peter, Paul, and Jesus himself in Revelation says, I come as a thief. Now, if I told you that a thief was coming here to rob Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church at noon, what you going to do? Some folks might get more excited about that than if I said, we know the Lord's coming back. You know, they'd be reaching in their pocket, you know, getting their hand on their pistol or getting their little pocket knife out, standing behind the door. We're going to get him when he comes in, Brother Tim. What if a thief was going to show up at noon? I said, he's going to be here at noon. He's going to come in that back door right there. It'd be funny to see all of y'all lined up right back there. And we all just pounce on him, you know, when he comes in. It'd be funny, wouldn't it? If you knew when the thief was coming, you would be ready for the thief, right? The Apostle Paul says, you are not those that are in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. It should not be like a thief coming when the trumpet sounds. Now, it's going to be startling, no question about it. Nobody can describe it or depict it accurately. You'll just know it when it happens, and it will be startling no matter what. But Paul says, when it does happen, you shouldn't be surprised like it's a thief overtaking you. This is the goal of our existence, is to be with the Lord. If you knew that thief was coming at 12, you know, you'd get your hand on your pistol, you'd get your hand on your pocket knife, you'd clench your fist, you'd have some, maybe somewhere behind the door, be ready to jump and pounce, and here he comes. We're going to jump on him. Oh, listen, one of the things that we do around our house from time to time is to scare one another. I'm a professional scarer. And I tell you what, I have laid down somewhere or hid behind something for 15 minutes just because I was so excited that when Sister Abigail, who is the easiest one to scare in our house, when she walked in, you know, I'd be around the door and I'd just say, hey, and she'd, bah, you know. I mean, I get excited over scaring folks. I know that sounds silly, but I've been doing this since I was a kid. Brother Chris and I used to scare each other left and right. The scaredest I ever got him was when I just got in his closet behind his clothes one time when I was 9 or 10. And I just stood there and didn't say anything until he finally reached in and got something. And he, bah, you know. I love to scare people. Surprise, you know. Now, some of the other ones, Brother Asher's a little harder to scare. He and I worked on each other. But he got me good one night when he was under the coffee table and I walked through in the dark. He grabbed my legs. You won't scare Brother Tim, just grab my legs. Don't mess with my legs. I don't like walking in water that you can't see what's down there. Don't mess with my legs. That's where you really will scare me. But surprise, you see. The Apostle Paul says, it should not be a surprise when the Lord comes. If he comes in 4 minutes, if he comes in 1 hour, if he comes in 10 years or 10,000 years from now, we as children of God should not be surprised. He says, you are not in darkness. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 2 Peter 3:10, he speaks of the very same thing. And he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You see? Jesus says in Revelation 16 and 15, he says, behold, this is in some of the last red letters, some of the last words of Jesus that you read in the Bible here in Revelation 16. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Do you hear that? He says, if you're keeping your garments, if you're walking, anticipating that the thief is coming, and then the thief starts coming in the house, and you just say, hey, that thief is gone, you see? You just keep watching. You see, he compares it. The Lord is not a thief. The Lord's not going to steal anything that's not his. You understand? The Lord, unlike the thief, is coming to get what is his. But you might feel like it's a thief if you're not watching for him. Oh, he can't take my seeing my grandkids away. He can't take my, I want to get a college scholarship away. Oh, he doesn't need to take away. I got to get out there and plant some corn, or I got to plant some beans, or I've got to finish school, or I've got to. You see, you're going to think it's a thief if you're not watching for him.
He's coming to get what is His. And you are His, child of God. You are the precious jewel that He's coming to polish with eternal glory forever and to shine in His crown forever. And there's nothing that you have that is better, have going on that is better than being with Him. He said it's also like a woman in labor. We only experienced that one time in five children. Sister Tracy, as you know, she had cesarean sections. And she had them with all the children. But there was one over here with glasses on that we had a day set, you know, a week later. And a week before that day was set, this one over here that's wearing glasses decided she was going to come a week early. And I'm going to tell you now, that was number, what? Number four. I have to add them up. She was number four. So we'd been there. We'd had three children already. That's old hat. No big deal. It was a big deal that morning about 3 o'clock when Sister Tracy said, "We got to go." I said, "What? It's not a week from now. No, we must go." And of all the flipping around, and I was so nervous, I didn't know what to do. I got to grab a bag, got to get this makeup, not mine, of course. I got to grab this, I got to grab that. And we had to hit the road at 3 a.m. A mom, bless her heart, I don't think she ever even got to grab her makeup, because you know she had to be there. So, listen, that baby's coming, you see? You can't stop it. There's no way to turn that tide. He says it's like a woman in labor. It's a woman in travail. And the only thing that's going to bring relief is what? The birth of that baby. He says that's the way it is with the Lord. You see, if you think about that in the sense of it's a time of travail and it's a time of deliverance coming. And when it comes, oh, what joy. Oh, what relief. We get excited, don't we? Can't wait for that baby to get there. Oh, we had some good laughs in the hospital room that morning as we got there and we were finally safe at the hospital. We had some good laughs and we thought, you know, we've never experienced this before. We thought we'd experience everything, but we never experienced this. And we laughed and we cut up. And then next thing you know, around 7 or so, Elizabeth came into the world. But I'm going to tell you what, there wasn't any laughing going on when I was doing about 90 or 100 miles an hour trying to get over there. Running red lights at 4 a.m. in the morning. That was a totally different experience. If I could get you as excited about the Lord coming back as that baby being born, oh, what a glorious experience you would have. Are you excited? I can't generate that in you. Only the Holy Spirit can confirm what I'm telling you in your own heart. And say, don't worry about those college degrees. Don't worry about, I'm not saying drop out of college. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying break off the engagement. I'm not saying, don't have a baby. I'm not saying those things. I'm saying that we should be as excited about the Lord coming back as we would be about a baby arriving. See? Even more so. The Apostle Paul said, "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." You see, that's how you catch a thief. Did you know that? You watch. That's how you catch that thief. Watch. So I don't think I can stay up all night, Brother Tim. I'm not talking about staying up all night and catching a natural thief. I'm talking about spiritually be awake and aware of your surroundings and what's going on and the signs and the seasons around you. And don't buy into the fear mongers and the fear merchants of politics or social change. Don't buy into that. Buy into this right here. The Lord said, "My word endures forever." You're going to be hearing these words even on into eternity. This earth and all the works around here will no longer be here. You're children of light. You're children of the day. You're not of the night. You're not of darkness. So don't sleep, but watch and be sober. Listen, when I was 7 or 8 years old, Brother Chris was 10 or 11, maybe 5 or 6, and Brother Chris was 8 or 9. I'll never forget it. Many nights we would stay at Grandmother McCool's house, and her house, the bedroom that we would stay in when we were spending the night would face the road out the back with double windows, and you could see our house and you could see the dirt road, most of it. There were trees on the line of the road back in those days. But Dad and Mom, sometimes Dad would go to a hospital board meeting on Thursday nights because he was on the hospital board. And Grandmother McCool would go ahead and put us to bed, but Brother Chris and I wouldn't sleep because she had a lamp right there in between the two beds. Brother Chris would sleep on one bed, I'd sleep on the other bed. And we'd pull those curtains back. And we just sit there with our heads on our pillows and we just watch the road. Watch, 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 watch. Watch. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Watch. And when we see those lights come, top of the hill, there they come, there they come. We start flipping the lamp. Flip the lamp, flip the lamp. And they'd see that lamp. Now, a few times it wasn't them. And the folks would just drive on by. They'd think, oh, somebody lost their mind in Ms. McCool's house. But when it was them, listen to me, when it was them, and we could tell it was them, maybe they'd do their lights towards us as they get a little bit closer, we'd flip that light. Oh, we got excited. You see, child of God, flip the lights. Turn the lamp. Shine. Show the light that you've got, that God's given you in your heart. Don't get caught down in the muck and the mire and the darkness of this world. Flip the light, because one of these days, it's going to be God's headlights coming at you. It's going to be the Lord coming from the sky. Flip the lights. Sometimes, most of the time it was them, sometimes it was not. But we were so excited, and they would come, and we'd get out of bed, and we'd go hug them. We might still spend the night there, but we'd get to see Mom and Dad. You see, do we have that kind of anticipation? It's 12:04, I'm sorry. Not because I went over. I'm sorry. The Lord didn't come back at 12. I'm not sorry I went over, because I intended to, so that you would see. We would see whether or not the Lord came back at 12. I love each and every one of you. You're in my heart. And there's nothing I love more than to see you flipping your lights. Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm ready. I haven't got anything that's more important than being with you for the rest of eternity. Amen. And there's nothing more important than you can do as a child of God to show your love and to glorify the Lord than come and make that known. Say, Lord, I'm ready. You know why you're ready? It's because the Lord has made you ready. We give you that opportunity as we stand and sing some song.